Welcome to We'll Shift Dust. I'm your host, Alicia, and here with me is, of course, Luke. How are you doing, Luke?
I'm very well, Alicia. I always like it when what I think of as our theme tune, our proper theme tune, kicks in. Like every time we've done like Beacon 23 or Dune and you've come up with different music, I always feel slightly discombobulated.
This is where it all started. And it's almost exactly. Like, almost trick myself into thinking it's the theme song for the show, but it's not. It's just some nice music we were kindly allowed to use. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just a reminder or an introduction for anyone who doesn't know yet, we did start this podcast, We'll Shift Dust, as a silo podcast with season one, ramping up to season one. I have read all the books. Luke has not read all the books. So our spoiler policy is to protect Luke's book, Innocence, at all costs, but we can talk about book stuff that's already happened on screen.
Yeah, I am the font. I remain the font of all ignorance.
Yeah, well, I feel like they're dipping me in that font as well. Yeah. With the way they're diverging from the books. This is actually our second Silo Season 2 prep ep, so check out our breakdown of the Comic-Con reveals if you haven't yet. We'll be referring to some of those today because what we're seeing now is kind of building off what we talked about then. But we are here today to talk about the new trailer that just dropped this week for season two of Silo. And that link is in the show notes. If you haven't watched it yet, I definitely recommend pausing now to do that. It only takes 2 minutes. And then we're going to break it down in all the detail, except, of course, the book spoilers, which I will save for my discussion with Abby in the book club. So, of course, that includes spoilers for anything from season one and also the Comic-Con discussion that we talked about in our announcement breakdown. I'm allowed to bring up any book content connected to what has already played out on screen. So that's the first half of the first book in the Silo series, Wool. But I will not talk about anything that happens in the books that hasn't yet played out on screen. I save all that stuff for the book spoiler episodes in the Supercast and Patreon book club, and you can find those links in the show notes if you are interested in that. Here, again, we're protecting Luke's book-free perspective so that we can also allow all of you who are discovering the story for the first time to learn the twists and turns as the show lays them out. That said, they are following the book story with a lot of changes. And it seems like more as the story goes on, which makes sense, of course. So they're leaving even us book readers a lot of room to speculate. Shall we begin, Luke?
Yeah, shall we dive right in?
All right.
Your regularly scheduled breakdown will begin in 3, 2, 1.
So there's a lot of things intercut together in this trailer. So we're going to pull out one whole thread at a time and see what we can unravel, starting with... We swirl through orange water down a spiral that looks like the spiral stairs, or is it the ammonite shell from the opening credits of season one? And the camera pulls out, showing Jules' face standing outside in her cleaning suit as the false green vision of the world outside flickers out to expose the actual wasteland present. So basically, this is how season one ended. A voiceover replays her conversation with George from last season, where she asks what the big question is, and he says, "What if everything you know to be true was just one big lie?" So, Luke, that word lies comes up a lot in this trailer. Lies within lies.
It does. It does. And it's a nice little shot that just reestablishes, yes, this is what you saw last time. This is where we are. We're moving forward from this point. Juliet is outside the silo, and the computer program that shows the world being all bucolic doesn't work. The world's actually a devastated wasteland, and now we're moving forward.
Yeah, so, yeah, lies within lies. It's like, this was a frustrating thing not to talk about last season, as, you know, it's dead outside. No, it's green. No, it's the green that's the lie.
Gotta say, Alicia, I admire your restraint. You have... You were very, very good at it, not giving the game away.
Thank you. How would you summarize, why do they have the lie in green outside?
Well, I mean, you saying that in the book, the reason is to persuade people to clean the camera.
They did also say that in the show.
They do also say that in the show. I've never been convinced that logic works, because if that's me in the suit, I'm like, away over the hill, woo! You know, see you, sucker. The world's actually a nice place.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it made sense with Allison doing it, because she said that that was a communication. She told Holston, like, if I clean, that means that it actually is green out there.
Yeah.
But for other people, so in the book, it's kind of like a feeling like they feel sorry for the people. They're like, oh, might as well give him a clean screen before I go wee over the hill. And in the show, they imply more that it's like they're trying that people think, oh, if they clean the screen enough, they will have the idea that, or they'll be able to see what it's really like out here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
Which, I can't buy that. I don't buy that.
Yeah, I'm sure some people would react that way, and I'm sure some people would feel bad for the people inside the silo, but it seems like a stretch to be able to predict that that's how everyone that goes out to clean is going to behave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the strongest part of the book, and I don't think it's, I think it's even less strong in the TV show. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
So it lies within lies. Juliet climbs to the top of the hill at the edge of her underground silo's indent and looks around to see 50 similar indents in the brown earth around her, the skyscrapers of a ruined city visible in the distance. So we already know that her silo is numbered 18. That's the number on the hard drive from last season, for example, and we know from Comic-Con and, yes, the books, that the silo nearest to her is number 17. So I'm going to start referring to these two silos as 18 and 17 just because we know the show's, like, the book is going to switch back and forth between them, and it's just easier to do that. Easier to number them. I've already asked if you think we're going to see more, and I'm reluctant to ask that because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to set false expectations, but at the same time, I don't know what they're going to do in the TV show.
Are we going to see more than two silos? Maybe.
This season, I mean.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, there's obviously a lot going on in Silo 17 that we will get to. And we know that there's only one other person in Silo 18, so that's...
Oh, wait, 18 is where Juliet came from.
Other way around. Yeah. So we know there's a lot going on in 18 that we'll get to. And we know from the Comic-Con reveal that there's only one other person in Silo 17. So it seems to me that there's enough going on in the two silos to fill the season. I don't think there needs to be a third silo, a fourth silo, etc. To bulk out the story at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, that is also the thing. I mean, I'm glad that they cut the first book in half, you know, into two seasons, but still it's only 10 episodes each, which is, you know, not that much time to tell the story. So in the trailer, we hear Bernard speechifying to a crowd inside Silo 18, the silo Juliet just left. "For as long as we can remember, everyone that goes outside is killed by the dangerous toxins of an unsafe world. Juliet Nichols asked to go out, but she died a hero to the silo." And then Shirley from the middle of the crowd yells, "They're lying." So in this speech, how do you think Bernard is spinning the situation with Juliet disappearing over the hill?
Well, I mean, that spinning is definitely the word. He's spinning it for all it's worth. And it's like Bernard, who is a very undemonstrative character, I think quite a shy guy, actually, from season one, trying to be like a rabble-rousing orator, and it doesn't really work. It doesn't really fit him. I am interested to know a bit more about the story they've come up with and this idea of Juliet being a hero to the silo, because is that what they say about everybody that's sent out to clean? You know, what have they kind of added to the story here?
Yeah, well, I mean, because obviously something different happened. This is the first time they've ever seen someone go to the other side of the hill. They all fall down on the hill. So he must be, he's spinning it as, I don't know why. Why does he say that makes her a hero?
Yeah. So I want to know what the story they've invented is.
Yeah.
And they must have invented it quite quickly as well, because, you know, this is probably only taking place a couple of days after the events of season one. Like, I would imagine Bernard wants to get his narrative, whatever it is, out there relatively quickly.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And we also see Sims, Billings, and Judge Meadows backing him up. What are you expecting from these three characters this season?
Well, like I said in the Comic-Con episode, I think Sims and Bernard, one will kill the other this season. I have no idea which way round that will be, but I think one of them will kill the other one. I think Sims and Bernard's relationship is going to be really interesting because we know that Sims is torn between his loyalty to what he perceives as the best interest of the silo and his family. And should those two things come into conflict, I think his family is almost certainly going to win. And I think there's a very
Although he said otherwise in season one, but I didn't believe him.
Yeah,
then.
I think he's lying to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a very good chance those two things will come into conflict. Billings is my favorite character because I just have no idea where he's going. Like, I think we said in our season one wrap up that on the Simsnard scale, from our scale of hero to villain, Billings is at the exact center of that scale. He could tip either way, and his line is, you know, that there can't be any more lies. Well, who's lying? Whose lies, Billings? Whose lies? And what are you going to do about it? And what are you going to do about it? Because, like I said in the season one wrap up, if you told me the entire show ends with Billings as the major hero, I would believe that. If you told me that the entire series ends with Billings as the major villain, I would also believe that as well. So I'm really fascinated to know where his character goes.
Yeah. And what about Judge Meadows? She's a new character. I mean, they like mention a judge in the book who plays a small role, but they basically have invented this character wholesale. So I can't tell you really where she's going. What do you think?
Well, she's recovered from her, in inverted commas, cold that she was suffering from in season one. So you know something serious has happened because she's literally left her apartment. And the sort of implication of her character in season one is that she was something of a recluse. So that's interesting. We really don't know too much about her and her motivation. Other than that, she seemed to be in Bernard's pocket, to be in IT's pocket in season one. Whether that starts to shift as the sort of tectonic plates in Silo 17 society, sorry, Silo 18 society shifts, that's going to be worth finding out.
Yeah. Yeah, because I could see all these characters getting redemption arc, but that can't be. So I don't know. Yeah.
No, there's like I can believe Sims getting a redemption arc. I can believe Judge Meadows getting a redemption arc. I can't see Bernard getting a redemption arc. Bernard is he is the antagonist. He is like.
I mean, I think Sims has murdered a lot of people. Either directly or by order.
Yeah, but the people that we know Sims has murdered, they I'm not gonna say they had it coming, but they were kind of bad people. They were kind of bad people, so.
Yeah, but Judge Meadows, genuinely, I can't tell which way she'll flip because she admits that, you know, it's her weakness, but is she going to get, I think it's, the question is going to be, is Judge Meadows going to get angry enough with herself?
Yeah, I think that could well be one of the key questions.
Yeah. And we also later in the trailer see Sims and his wife embracing, and we see Paul and Kathleen Billings putting their heads together with tears streaming down his face. What do you think is going to happen between these two sets of couples?
I don't know what's going to happen with the family Sims, but if they do anything to the Billings, they've already broken my heart once with Holston and Allison. So if they do anything with Billings and Catherine, I'm gonna have serious words with Hugh Howie the next time we have him on the podcast.
See, okay, so here's the thing. So in the book, neither of them, we don't really learn much about their family lives or wives or anything like that. So this is a fleshing out of what's in the book for these characters. So I can't say, you know, what happens with their wives there, but I do find in the show, and I know you disagree, I really like Mrs. Sims and I don't like Mrs. Billings.
Ooh,
although country. I like Paul better than Rob. I like Billings better than Sims.
Okay. Yeah.
You know.
See, I think that's good writing because I'm exactly the opposite. So I think that's good writing. I just want one couple to be happy in this show. Like there hasn't been a single couple that hasn't had one or both members of it die tragically.
It is sort of a thing.
Yeah.
And so we saw Shirley in the crowd. How do you think she knows that they're lying? Do you think it's just because she knows that Juliet got the good tape and Faith? Or
yeah,
do you think
take it that she got the good tape and Faith. I don't think Shirley knows anything. Well, we don't know, but there's nothing in the trailer to suggest that Shirley knows anything beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, and we see also clips of the rest of Mechanical. Knox, the head of Mechanical, he ended last season on a sour note when he turned Juliet into Judicial to save, he says, the rest of Mechanical. Martha, meanwhile, made big strides outside her workshop for the first time in, what was it, 25 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Deputy Hank brought the aw shucks to the yard down deep. Shadow Cooper's MIA since his boss got promoted. No glimpse of Cooper in the trailer, but
were you pleased to see Foxy Noxy back in the trailer?
Well, I mean, he's not so foxy to me after the way they hit him last season.
Okay.
he's got some splaining to do. He's got, well, I mean, I understand his
no, he definitely don't take it back, he definitely does have some splaining to do,
but I understand his explanation, but I don't forgive him for it, you know.
Yeah, I understand it, I'm not forgiving it.
Yeah I just realized that maybe somebody else in the trailer is, because I'm trying to figure out who's what in the trailer, and I was doing close-ups of noses with, trying to get characters in profile and compare their noses and stuff. Okay.
This is the level of detail Alicia goes to, listeners.
Anyway, I just thought about that somebody, I was like, could that possibly be George Beck? No, I actually think now it's Hank. Anyway, moving on. So we see Juliet crunch over the brittle bones of skeletons lying in the scorched earth. A carpet of skeletons. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, that's a really cool shot. And you know what really made me think of the opening scene in the Terminator, where you're in the future and you see all the Terminators walking across like this field of just skulls, and you get the shot of that the Terminator putting its foot on a skull. It really made me think of that. Like, clearly whoever directed that that first episode really likes the Terminator movies.
You think? Well, yeah. I mean, it's based on the books, but yeah. I'll talk about it more when we actually see it in the episode. But in this trailer, we see a carpet of skeletons as far as the eye can see, surrounding the sensor tower and underground entrance of another silo, which of course is Silo 17. So that shot is actually setting up one of the goriest sequences, or probably the goriest sequence in the books. And I'm wondering how much they'll actually go there. I'm thinking they might pull their punches a little bit in terms of like, oh, wow, the grossness of that whole scene of Juliet breaking into the other silo.
Oh, really? It's mm-hmm. it's that bad?
Well, I'll talk about it more once it airs, okay, and we see what happens. Yeah. But yeah, so far we see a carpet of skeletons. That's already, it's a cool visual effect. It's like, what do you think? Why do you think all the skeletons are there? Because, you know, obviously Juliet's silo has like a few on the hill, but
yeah, so obviously these aren't people that have been sent out to clean, and there are too many of them, so I assume that silo 17, somebody opened the top of the silo and people like burst out en masse. And that's why you've got corpses everywhere.
Well, we see Juliet breaking into that other silo as her helmet warns her she's running out of oxygen. Gasping for air, she hammers at her helmet to get it off, falling in a sweaty pile, panting. And then we see lies scrawled across a screen in a ruined cafeteria as we hear a female voice say, "She might be out there somewhere, still alive." Whose voice do you think said that? Because it didn't sound like Shirley or Martha to me.
No, I'm not sure. I was thinking the only person that occurred to me that it might be is the woman working in the cafeteria who Halston says hello to in the first episode as he's walking to his office. It sounded to me vaguely like it might be her, but I don't really know.
Wait, not Gloria, you mean, but a one-off character who only appeared in that episode?
Yeah, as Halston's walking to his office. There's like there's a waitress lady like setting up the cafeteria who Halston says good morning to.
So you just think it's like a random person who's spreading the whispers? Yeah. Okay. And the only other, I wondered if Regina George's ex might be back. It could be her, I thought, but I don't know. I don't know if they'll bother to do that. I'm also wondering where Sandy is. Remember Sandy, the assistant in the sheriff's office? And then she moved to 105 in episode 5, and we never heard from her again. So I'm wondering if she'll be back.
We eat the same things you do, just with a bit more salt.
Yes. Babies sometimes each other. Yeah. So the cafeteria we see with it looks like it's ruined with the lies scrawled across the screen. Do you think that's in 17 or 18? And how do you think it got like that?
If it's in 18, then that's
ruh-roh.
Really interesting. I don't think we have enough information from that shot to know because it looks, and maybe we'll find out different when we see the show, but it looks like all the, or at least those two silos are identical. Like all the silos have been built to exactly the same design and exactly the same specification.
Yeah, I think that's a logical leap to take.
Yeah.
And we also, we get a glimpse of Judge Meadows watching a video of a man with a child on a beach projected onto her curtains, tears streaming down her face, as we hear Billings insist, "The lies have to stop." And Sims adds in another scene, "People are saying it's time for a rebellion." So we know rebellion's brewing. It was already brewing last season. Do you think it's going to come to fruition this season in Silo 18?
Well, I mean, there is a shot later on towards the very end of the trailer with somebody, I can't tell who, from mechanical, swinging a very large piece of machinery in what looks like the corridor that leads to IT's offices. So that suggests to me we're going to get at least the beginnings of a rebellion, if not see the whole thing through. I couldn't tell whether that was, I'm doing it a bit out of sequence, I realize, but I couldn't tell whether that was Knox or just some random big guy from
leading the people charging.
I think
it was Knox. I paused. Okay. It was Knox, and I could see Shirley behind him and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we also saw rioting last season, so we don't know whether or not that's full-blown rebellion. But it's at least some heavy rioting. Well, we see even more later.
but it's not out. It's not like out in the stairs. It seems to be in like those little
corridor.
Those little plush suite of offices that IT get to use.
And we also see in Silo 18 a parachute jets up to the top of the silo, exploding outward hundreds of slips of paper that rain down to all levels with the words "Juliet lives." A shot from the bottom shows a rolling blackout going up the silo as those papers descend. Dr. Daddy Nichols tells someone, "You can't control what she means to the people." So what do you think? That parachute thing must be something Martha invented, right? That's
I actually thought it was a really nice, cool, callback to the ceremony we see in season one, where they're lighting the lanterns and letting them float up to the top of the silo. This is like the inverse, the opposite of that. And I don't know. I imagine they must have thought of it, but I thought it was a really nice sort of callback to this is what happens when things are going, when routine is being observed in the silo. This is what happens when it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually thought of in season one where there were some kids who had made like little paper whirly twirly things and thrown them over the side.
Yeah.
To like watch them flutter down. And I was like, isn't that a waste of paper? Which is, they also got quite a lot of paper for this task, but I understand they're making a point.
They're making a point. Yeah.
But I want to see Martha inventing that. I want to see, Tech Martha back in her workshop.
Yeah, MacGyvering her way to a revolution.
Exactly. Yeah. So the blackout we see rolling up the silo, do you think IT did that? And do you think that would make things calmer or worse?
See, I think that would make things worse.
Yeah.
Surely if you're IT and judicial, the last thing you want to do is have people sneaking around in the dark. I wonder whether it's something breaks in mechanical, or whether it's somebody sabotages something in mechanical. Because it you're right, it does rise bottom to top, but it does so quite quickly. So
yeah, what I wonder too. And obviously without the backup generator set up or something. So
yeah. So I wonder whether somebody has to go and change like a massive fuse or flip like a really big switch. Somewhere.
Or hurts Juliet's precious generator.
Yeah.
That's not how she wants to be remembered. All right. Well, we're going to get back to Juliet in just a sec, but let's take a quick break before we go on.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Okay, and we're back. And so in the trailer, we hear Juliet say, "I need to know what happened here." And we see Juliet in a janky scuba suit with a big hose descending down to the bottom of a body of water inside a building. Of course, it's not outside. And she continues, "For my friends, my family." And we see flashes of Martha's and Papa Nichols's faces. And she continues, "All we're trying to do is survive. Nothing's going to stop me from trying." And she's talking to someone else with similar hair to hers. Who do we think she's talking to?
I have no idea. I think that's, and more importantly, which silo is she in at that point?
Yeah. If she says, "I need to know what happened here," makes me wonder if she's investigating 17, but then it also could be, I don't know.
Well, yes, but as far as we know, there's only one person in 17. And
so could she be talking to Solo? We didn't see his hair yet. We've only seen his eyes.
That's true, but it sort of struck me that the figure looked more female.
Was it the hair tricking you? I don't know. Was it the hair tricking you?
Possibly, yeah.
Or she's talking to herself in a vision.
Yeah, she's talking to herself, yeah, possibly. I mean, actually, this is Juliet looks pretty beat up in this trailer. I mean, she's going through some stuff, obviously, and it's really good physical acting from Rebecca Ferguson, because, like, Juliet is obviously a physically strong person, you know, had a very physical job, a very physical role within Silo 18. But she looks really sort of strung out and like she's been, you know, she's been put through some stuff.
So when we see her in the water in that kind of scuba suit situation, I definitely can't talk about this, but what do you think is happening and where?
Okay, I'm not... The where, I think, is Silo 17. The what, I don't know, but obviously...
Where in Silo 17?
See, this is really annoying, because you know exactly what's going on, and I haven't a clue.
This is a famous sequence in the books. I mean, memorable sequence.
Well, if there is water anywhere in the silo, it's got to be at the very, very... It's got to be at the very, very bottom of it, you would think.
Yeah, we talked about groundwater, yeah.
Yeah, even well below where Mechanical is, there's a lot of it. So is this like the central reservoir that all the silos draw their water from? Because that's something I've been interested in season one, is where are they getting water from? So is
we talked about how groundwater just, you have to fight it from coming up.
Yeah.
When you're a mile underground.
Yeah. Is this like an aquifer? Is this like the central reservoir that silos draw water from? But whatever it is, in order to get Juliet into water, something very serious has got to have happened. Because I think you said this is an invention of the show, but Juliet is frightened of water.
Yeah, definitely adds a wrinkle to this whole sequence. Yeah,
yeah.
And this is also where Rebecca Ferguson was interviewed after season one and asked about season two to describe it in one word, and she said wet, and people are like, wet? Well, now you know wet. She probably got extra pay for the full water submersion.
Yeah.
And we also see a man climbing up a long ladder somewhere. So at first I thought this looked like George, which doesn't make sense because he's dead, although, you know, flashbacks aren't out of the question, but I'm not holding my breath for any dead characters to come back. Because
Alicia, stop trying to make George happen.
No, it's about Lucas, baby. But so yeah, this is where I was like pausing and looking at noses, and I think it's Avi Nash's nose.
I think
it's more his than was it Billy Poss? Oh gosh,
Postlethwaite. Yeah.
So, but then okay, if it is Lucas, then. Why is Lucas crawling up some long ladder, super long ladder from clearly somewhere very deep? Did he actually get sent to the mines?
Yeah, I mean that was what he was threatened with.
Mm-hmm. But it's notable how little of him we see in the trailer, so they're hiding something.
Yeah. So yeah, he was sort of literally sent to the mines, so we could just be seeing him in the mines, I guess.
Okay.
Or him trying to escape from the mines.
Okay. And we also see Shirley and a group that seem to be up to something in a graffiti-covered tunnel down deep. I wonder if could this be the tunnel to the digger room or elsewhere in the mines somewhere?
It's very hard to tell what's going on in that shot, other than it's Shirley and a group of people. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. All right, continuing to mix up the order of the trailer a little bit to keep story elements together, we see Juliet walking across a strut where the rest of the floor has fallen away and a rope around her waist. She falls before she can reach the other side, grabbing the opposite ledge, but slipping. And then we see her again in front of a metal door where she sees the unhinged polychromatic eyes of Steve Zahn, which Solo, I don't recall him being polychromatic in the book, but anyway. Steve Zahn's playing a major new character named Solo, who says, "You try to open the door again, then I'm going to kill you." So we talked about this character more in our Comic-Con episode, and we know that this stuff happens in the first episode of the new season. We haven't seen that yet, but what are your thoughts on Solo so far from what we know from Comic-Con in this trailer?
What I thought was interesting is when he says, if you try to open the door again, I'll kill you. It's not said with any kind of hate or malice. Or, you know, he's not angry with her. It's just a flat statement of, if you try and get in here, I'm going to have to kill you.
Got no choice, lady.
Got no choice, lady. So it's like, I thought that was interesting. Because there are so many different ways you could have delivered that line. And that's the way Steve Zahn and the writers chose that he ought to deliver it.
The director, yeah.
Yeah. If I'm looking for other like media, it reminded me of kind of anytime you put one character behind a door and another character standing on the other side of it, I'm always going to go to Silence of the Lambs because I love that movie. I love that book.
Do you think Solo's a cannibal?
Well, he had to be eating something while he's been trapped down there on his own all that time. So, you know, fava beans and a nice Chianti. Possibly.
You think that's what happened to Silo 17's population?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay. So at the in the back part of the trailer, we get a flashes of random images we'll get to in a moment. And the music swells and we get a background of what looks like solar flares across space because it looks like stars with the text, "This November, the survival of one, the hope of all." Rebecca Ferguson, Academy Award winner Tim Robbins, Academy Award winner Common, Silo, the new season. And yes, I looked it up and Common does have an Oscar for he and John Legend got Best Original Song at the 2015 Oscars for Glory from Selma. So fun fact, I just learned. Or I guess I knew it at the time and I forgot.
Cool.
And so we get those flashes of those random images. We get an old-timey carousel of images, which I'm wondering if that's another relic, although that looks rather low-tech. We get familiar faces from Mechanical running and wielding makeshift weapons, cheering on a balcony. We get Bernard overseeing the deployment of raiders, Common stalking down a hall. Someone, maybe it's Carla, Martha's ex-wife maybe, drops a round object over the edge of the stairs in Silo 18, and Judge Meadows says to someone, "You're frightened." Someone recoils from an explosion. This is another one I was like, is that George? Could it be a flashback? But no, now I think it's Hank. I think it's Billy Postlethwaite, huh?
Yeah, Postlethwaite. Oh. Yeah. Thwaite.
That's what I said. And yeah, so it looks like he's recoiling from an explosion, which makes more sense than I thought. Otherwise, it was like maybe no. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, you really want to see George again, don't you?
I mean, who doesn't want to see George again? But no, I don't think we're going to see George again. But then it's just that they're like, I'm sorry, if you don't show me their faces, they all have kind of like the same hair and like.
Yeah, they do.
And I thought maybe it would be when they were breaking into the digger room, but I don't think George saw that happen because also I just rewatched season one. And George says to Juliet at some point that Juliet showed that room to him. So it was already. So, yeah, no, it makes way more sense that Hank is hiding from an explosion that's happening somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bernard says, "I'm not afraid of the rebellion. I'm more afraid of what she saw," as Bernard watches a screen that glitches out.
So what Bernard is saying there is he can't be afraid of what she saw in terms of the world being toxic, because that's what everybody in the silo sees. You know, the whole double bluff of season one is you think that that's fake, but it's actually perfect real. So he must be referring to the fact that there are other silos.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But then it's like, if he thinks she's gone, then what does it matter which you saw?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is. I think my, like, mad tinfoil hat theory.
Oh, please. This is what we want.
Yeah. Is that all the silos are still connected and the heads of IT in all the silos are still talking to each other.
Mm.
And that, like, that Bernard is just Silo 18's representative to, like, the, you know, the Grand Council of IT heads.
Okay, yeah.
And that something catastrophic went wrong in Silo 17 of unknown nature and duration. And now, like, the Illuminati, the people actually running, you know, the civilization of silos, are desperate to bury the secret of whatever happened in Silo 17. And okay, that's the screen that's glitching out.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Bernard has been summoned to account for the events taking place in Silo 18. He is like an Imperial Admiral talking to Darth Vader, and he's just this side of getting force choked to death.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, that's my tinfoil hat theory. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. We also see people in padded suits recoiling from a fire raining out through a vent. We see shots being fired with machine guns made of pipes and rope. I thought that was a really interesting thing for them to zoom in on, like how they're just piecing together guns out of literally like parts.
You can make like a single shot musket that way. I don't think you can make a machine gun that way, but it's a cool effect.
Yeah. We also see two people jump down the center of the silo with ropes tied to them. And I tried to zoom in, but I couldn't really figure it out. And to be honest, it would be the stunt doubles of whoever, whatever characters it is. So good luck to me on that. But if anyone at home has any ideas of who they think that is, please let us know.
Well, at least you didn't say it was George this time.
I don't think it's George. Maybe it's Lucas.
It could be George.
Maybe it's Lucas. Maybe they're holding hands. Maybe it's Lucas and Shirley. Maybe Lucas and Shirley get together instead of either of them being with Juliet.
Okay, so I think that's your tin. It's your tinfoil hat shit, not your tinfoil hat theory.
All right, people, start shipping Shirley kiss. Oh, I don't know. I've even seen that. No,
we'll get there. We've got a whole series. We'll workshop it. We'll see what we can come up with.
Yeah. I want some happy romance too.
Yeah.
Speaking of happy spots, where are Patrick Kennedy and Danny? Are they safe?
this is a good question. This is a very good question. I'm going to say probably not. I think Sims is a efficient enough bloodhound, and the number of places you can hide in a silo is sufficiently small that I think the raiders have probably got to them by this point.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So what does that mean? Do you think they're down in the mines now or something? Sent to clean? No, they wouldn't send a. Well, I don't know.
I think they may just have had
another accident.
You know, a typical shot while trying to escape. Whoops! They fell over the banner. Kind of deal.
I hope not. I hope that they'll be back. Even if that's our entryway into seeing the mines and
what's going on.
Yeah. So, what did you think of the trailer overall?
I thought it was good in that it gave you a flavor of what season two is going to be like without doing one of those things where the trailer basically shows you the whole season in miniature.
Right.
I thought it gave you a very good sense of, like, this is the atmosphere. And I thought it got across. I mean, it's hard to tell because we watched the Comic-Con interview, so we sort of knew what we were looking for. But I thought it got across the idea that this is taking place in at least two different locations, two different silos quite well. It got me pumped for season two, which is really all you want from a trailer in the end, right. At the end of the day.
That's the point, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we know from Comic-Con and that most of this trailer is from the first two episodes. So this is like following the immediate aftermath of Juliet walking over the hill. What do you think happens after this?
Oh, good grief, Alicia. I don't know. I'm the fond of all ignorance.
More tinfoil hat theories.
More tinfoil hat. No, sorry. You've got all my okay. tinfoil. I've used up all my tinfoil for one episode.
All right. Well, then let me ask you this. What character or characters do you think are most in danger this season?
See, logically, you would say Juliet, but then you've got to say Rebecca Ferguson, biggest star of the show and producer. So she's got pretty formidable plot armor. I would say definitely, going back to what I said earlier, definitely say Sims and Bernard. I can't see a scenario where those two characters don't come into conflict with each other this season. I think Billings, for a whole variety of reasons, not least, and this isn't mentioned in the trailer, but, you know, what's going on with his syndrome? How is that progressing? Is that progressing? How long is it going to be before more people than Sims and his wife find out about it?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what is the punishment for hiding that illness, that condition?
Yeah, because now we know Sims openly knows it. I think Sims and Bernard have obviously always known it because they're surveilling everyone. I think, and now Sims is just, it's out loud, so he can use that to control him all the better.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody in the down deep is in danger, because it seems like if there is going to be a rebellion, a revolution, whatever you want to call it, they're the people going to be leading it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of them are in danger. So yeah, pretty, I would say, ironically, given that she is the character that walked over the hill and is now in a new random solo, I would say the person in the least danger is Juliet. But only because she's played by Rebecca Ferguson.
And also because it would be an unsatisfying story if she walked over and then, well, I mean, I don't know, but that is kind of how the story starts, with a bunch of characters just like, you're like, oh, this is the main character.
Oh, yeah, because like, you're introduced to Holston and you think, this is the main character. You're introduced to Mayor Jones and you think, oh, she's going to stick around for a while.
Do you have any thoughts on how or where the season might end?
You know what? Going back to my tinfoil hat theory, I think the season ends with all the silos being able to communicate, not just these two, but like all of the 50 silos realizing that all the other 49 exist, and people starting to communicate with one another across silos. I think that I've just got this this like image of a closing shot of like people suddenly seeing people in other silos on the screens. And I think partially this is just like wish fulfillment for me, because I think it would just be a really cool shot. But I also think it would take the story in an interesting place if all of these isolated communities realized that they weren't isolated anymore.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't speculate on where it ends, but I do, there are already changes, and so it's hard to say, like, and I can see in the trailer that there are other changes that are from the books that are coming into play, so things could end in a different way than I expect, or at least I expect that there's going to be a lot of differences getting there.
Okay. You know?
So a lot of room for speculation for me this season.
That is enigmatic. That is textbook enigmatic.
Well, shall we hear from some members of the community what they think about
absolutely
season two? All right.
Now opening the listener feedback channel.
So This came out before the trailer. We got this feedback from SofYB, who said, now we talked in a previous episode about SofYB, that she made this really cool, she drew this like Pez dispenser thing for her husband for a card, and it looked really great. And I speculated she was an artist, and she said, haha, definitely not an artist. I'm a climate change lawyer working with environmental charities and low income and marginalized communities, which is super cool. And I hope that you help prevent the world from looking like it looks outside the silos. I actually first started reading Wool, hoping for a nice fictional escape from my day job of watching powerful white men on an ego trip plotting to destroy the world, upside down smiley. I'm now reading The Power.
That didn't go so well, did it?
I am now reading The Power by Naomi Alderman to make up for it. Have you read that? One day, girls around the world wake up to discover they can electrocute boys and men. I haven't read the book. I know that show, I know that they had an adaptation on Prime Video that's been on my watch list, but I haven't watched it yet. I'm guessing you haven't.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a book. But yeah, I've seen the trailers for the show on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it was a book, but yeah, no, I haven't read the book and I haven't watched the show yet. I do intend to, I think I'll probably, that one I'll watch the show first just because my reading list is so overwhelming. And so it continues, the version of Shift that I listened to in Audible was narrated by Peter Brook, who I'm sure is a lovely guy, but he read Helen and Anna in an annoying whiny tone. And well, I just don't know where to start with Mission. These are characters that, turn up more in other books, but it's not a spoiler to say they exist. She says, I'm British though, and the different US accents are a bit lost on me. Do you hear differences in U.S. accents, Luke?
Kind of. I have a lot of... St. Andrews has a very large student population from the U.S. So I do get kind of used to hearing people from different parts of America, but I'm very, very bad at... I'm very, very bad at identifying them.
Okay. So she says, I've listened back to your Silo series with Luke now, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for putting all this content and thoughtful analysis out into the world. You are incredibly natural and is a pleasure to listen to. That's really kind, so. She says, I recorded a podcast the other day, and it was so hard not to ramble, but you make it seem effortless, though it's clearly not. I take copious, overwhelming notes.
Yeah, I ramble Alicia plans. It's remarkable.
It's a good balance. That's how we achieve balance in the Force. Yeah. she says, casting for Jimmy, aka Solo, is perfect. I'm so excited. And yeah, I mean, I think you don't even know who Solo is in the book, but you just know that he's like a man who's been on his own for a long time and is a bit, you know, rough around the edges because of it. So he's perfect casting.
Yeah.
She says, the uber nerd in me wants to write a blog about what the silo world can teach us about democracy and governance. Would love to hear Luke's thoughts on this too, given his profession. Some of it is uncomfortably close to home, especially as how he wrote the books pre-Trump and Musk dominance. Yeah. I do think it's the story's hitting different in our election, U.S. election cycle.
I mean, I don't really see parallels with Trump and the silo, but... I do see parallels with, you know, social media and the power of money and people like Elon Musk and Peter Thiel, et al. The problem with Donald Trump is just not intellectual enough to fit in the world of silo. He is just too low.
I mean, I do think I could not see him being Bernard, who clearly, like, say what you will about Bernard, but that is a man who has to stay sharp and has to know things and be interested in knowing things.
Yeah.
And also what we've seen 1.5 mayors, if we're calling Bernard the half mayor, and Johns was mayor for 40 years. And it feels like the mayoral position, we now know that really Bernard's more the one with the power, but the mayoral position is there to like comfort the people. So you need like a warm, cozy person.
Yeah. And Bernard isn't that.
No, nor is Trump. So I'm saying, yeah, Trump couldn't be a figurehead either, because that's not a comfort to the people.
No.
Okay, well, we also have a voicemail from Listu, so I'm going to play that now.
Hello there, Silo podcast hosts. I'm Stuart, and I've read the books a bunch, and I've watched the TV show a bunch. And one of my favorite things about this show was how they change things just a little bit. Take episode 3, for example. That whole shutting down of the machine took a long time in the book, but in the show, it was really concise and really tense. Like I said, I've read these books a bunch. I've watched the show a bunch. Even on this rewatch, I was like, oh man, I hope she makes it. Because if she doesn't, this whole, oh wait, of course she's going to make it. I've seen this. You've read this. Come on now, buddy. So that's what I really like about this show, is that it takes what we know and changes it just a little bit to where you don't know. Anyway, can't wait to see season 2. Love the podcast. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah, thoughts? Does that comfort you to know we're on edge as much as you?
Yeah. I mean, it's also the mark of great writing and a great show if it can make you feel nervous the second time of watching it, even when you know the outcome. You're so caught up in the moment, so caught up in what's going on the screen in front of you, that your brain kind of forgets that you already know the outcome. That is the mark of really high class writing, really high class acting, really high class production across the board.
Yeah, it looks like season 2 is going to be an even more explosive season, because we literally saw
I see what you did there.
There's already lots of general hype on the Discord for anyone who wants to join that conversation. There's links in the show notes. Just to quote Sub-Zero, I've decided not to read the books at all until the series wraps. I think I'll enjoy it more that way. So just to put out there that there are a lot of people who are choosing to do this without reading the books and experiencing the twists and turns as the show airs, which is why we are not going to spoil any of that on this public podcast. And then we also got a message today from the 604 Lovely, who said, hi, new to the server and neophyte Discord user, but wanted to drop by to thank you for season 1 coverage of Silo. Loving your companionship via podcast as I make my way through the episodes. Halfway through episode 8, can't wait for season 2, appreciating you. So thank you. That is very lovely, 604 Lovely.
Yeah, I'm liking all the love we're getting. Today, you can't see this, but my head is actually physically swelling up right now. So thanks everybody. It's very much appreciated.
I'm sure we'll get angry letters soon enough.
Yeah.
All right. Any more thoughts on the trailer or expectations for season 2?
No, I'm really pumped that season 2 is going to be starting in less than a month. Mm-hmm. I'm just really looking forward to it now. And like, it's such a pleasant, we talked about this in the Comic-Con episode, but it's such a pleasant surprise, because I'd sort of accepted that this was going to be a 2025 thing, right, rather than a 2024 thing. So it's just really nice to know that the show is coming back this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to, like, I loved all of our community interactions we had during season 1. So I'm hoping that we'll have that same buzz going on. I can already feel it building up. So that's great. So anyone listening, if you've enjoyed this, please share it with any other Silo fans or people who should be Silo fans who you think would enjoy being a part of the community for season 2. We were just discussing before recording, but we're going to have to see how we handle future trailers that drop between now and the beginning of the show, because we're going to start watching the screeners so that we can prep the episodes in advance so that we can drop them the same day that they air this year. And we're not going to watch ahead of the episode that we're recording about. So we want to be able to freely speculate about what's coming next. But it means that we will be, have watched some of the episodes before the season started, and we don't want to like spoil anything for you or play coy. So we're going to play it by ear about whether we'll have any more prep eps before the season begins.
Yeah. And can I just say, really excited that we've got screeners. I've never had screeners for anything. Like, big important content creators here.
Yeah. They are super handy, especially it was because I like to go in depth for this show. So it gives some more time to like turn it to turn things around and get that out in a timely manner. So really grateful to Apple TV for that. We still do want your feedback, listeners, for special mailbag episodes. So we're going to, we'll release periodic mailbag episodes. Just email your thoughts to woolshiftdustpodcast@gmail.com. You'll find that link in the show notes. And you can also contact us on the various social medias, or at least you can contact me. Luke, you're wisely avoiding social media these days.
I have definitely got out of the toxic dump that is X. I don't even like to call it Twitter anymore, because I met a lot of nice people on Twitter. You're one of them, Alicia. I have very fond memories of Twitter. Twitter is dead. It's gone. It's done. It's finished. Well,
now they're removing the block ability, if that's even allowed.
So I'm not on X, but I am on. You can find me on Blue Sky at Luke Midup. And I am, as a new season resolution, going to be more active in reading and posting on the Discord. I promise.
Well, you can definitely find me there, so I'll make sure Luke gets any messages that way as well. Now, on the silo theme, in the book club, Abby and I wrapped up the silo book breakdowns, and the short stories episode is going to be released right around the same time that this one drops. And that will be followed by two season one rewatch episodes. And I want to thank our newest book club members, Jackie and Mike S., and our new storiesins, Ken W., the OG storiesin, and Listu, who you just heard from, who always holds the title also as OG Ken and Padawan. it's from the Star Wars podcast. So there will also be additional book spoiler episodes for subscribers as the season goes on, and I will be creating a show guide with full spoilers, which will be available to all book club members. As well, as there's a new season pass option for people who only want Silo season one and the book, or season two, or the two combined. Only the content for Silo without the holiday specials and other Hugh, Howie, and Dune content. So check the show notes for links to that. And also links to, the Supercast and Patreon, where you have access to it all. And speaking of Dune, we've recorded our first part of our Dune book breakdown. Yay! And we are recording the second part this weekend. So together, those two episodes will be all of part or book one of the first novel. So watch out for a re-release of our Intro to Dune episode, which will come out first, for a refresher on the story behind the book. And yeah, I've been enjoying getting back into that. What about you, Luke?
Yeah, no, I've really been enjoying it. So just a warning, though. If you've got any long journeys planned, if you've got like anything that's going to take a while, maybe set those podcasts to one side, because... Because they'd be long.
Well, the first one did come close to 3 hours. We'll see how it is after editing.
Yeah. So, like I say, if you've got any, long journeys coming up, anything like that, or you want to leave it for a while and you'll be traveling for the holidays, those would be ideal traveling companions.
For the first one, we also had David from the Lorehounds as our guest for the first part of it. So we got into some very deep discussion, just setting up like the world building and the characters and all that stuff, which is why we split the first third of the book in half, so that the second half we can focus more on, okay, this is a story going forward.
Yeah.
I still want to hear your three most memorable scenes from the book, Dune, if you've read it. If you haven't sent those, then please do share them via woolshiftdustpodcast@gmail.com, because we're going to be doing a ranking episode after we've finished breaking down that first novel, where we rank the most memorable scenes based on all of the feedback. We've got like more than 50 people's input now, so we're getting a good, almost scientific ranking. And also, released just after this in this public feed, you'll find this year's Spooktober special, which is about The Craft and the sequel to The Craft. And subscribers, you'll get a bonus Spooktober episode also about witches with the audio drama coming your way this month as well. And on the rest of the Lorehounds network, we on the main Lorehounds feed, Rings of Power just wrapped up. Weekly Agatha All Along coverage is going on into early November. Coverage of The Penguin is going on. There's Spooktober coverage of the Poltergeist series of films. And in November, Dune Prophecy coverage will be there, since we're doing Silo here on this feed. And there will be one-shots for Wicked, Nosferatu, and more. And on the rest of the network, on the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast, I'm continuing the sweep of flashback episodes through the High Republic with more Star Wars visions in the High Republic, Young Jedi Adventures Season 2A, the new Kalnaka comic and Darth Plagueis book are all coming up soon. Radioactive Ramblings, meanwhile, is breaking down the Red Rising series of books, three chapters at a time. And I haven't read those yet. They are like at the top of my list as soon as I'm not reading books for podcasting purposes. But I have the feeling that if you like this, you'll like that.
So never is what you're saying, really.
No, I'll squeeze it in. I'm squeezing it in. Right now, I'm rereading the original Dune book and Dune Sisterhood and Wicked and Dracula at the same time. So,
wow. You're going to be having some trippy dreams if you put all that together.
I do. I have great dreams. I play enough video games that I think I'm a superhero in my dreams. And of course, we want to mention the newest podcast on the network, Nevermind the Music, combining music and psychology. The latest ep as of this recording is Don't You Worry About a Thing by Stevie Wonder and Descending Worry Lines. So they always pair a song and a psychological theme. So you can also catch up on past episodes like That's What You Get by Paramore and The Motive Limbic System, or The Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony, and The Four Rhythms of Grief. So I'm super enjoying their stuff, and their episodes are much shorter than ours. And Luke, what's up with It Can Be Said, your other podcast?
Me and two friends from university record a regular-ish podcast. We're not really on a schedule. We record as we get enough material. And that focuses on British politics. It focuses on international politics. We touch on sport. We touch on culture. It's basically three guys from uni who live in different parts of the country, so don't get together that much. So we just talk about what we're interested in. Yeah, we just talk about what we're interested in, basically.
Okay, cool. Well, you'll find all those links in the show notes. Any final thoughts before we go?
No, I think I'm pretty much tapped out.
I have that effect on you. Well, talk to you all again soon. Looking forward to it. And may your season two be very wet.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.